Welcome to a special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the weekly update where we examine the latest headlines from all across the world to keep you informed about issues that affect your faith. Stay aware, stay informed. It's the special Friday edition of Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this very special broadcast, since it is Friday, August the 30th of the year of our Lord, 2024. And with us today, as usual, our great producer, Brother Paul Sutcliffe from New York. Hello, Brother Paul.
Hello, I hope you're enjoying your beautiful day down in Florida.
And it is hot here, brother. And with us today as well, our dear, wonderful sister, Christy, the great co-host from Missouri. Hello, and how are you, Christy?
I'm doing fine, Usama, and it's hot here as well.
All right. Well, we have lots of material to cover today in our broadcast. So, Brother Paul, let's start with what the Muslims have done since we have talked in our last Friday in the USA.
Well, Dr. Tlaib Sharif, the Imam of Masjid Muhammad in Northwest D.C., gave the invocation for the DNC this year. But they did not tell anyone Sharif is a well-known member of the Islamic Circle of North America, which is claimed as a Muslim Brotherhood organization.
Wait a minute, Brother Paul. Are you trying to tell me they got a Muslim imam and they forgot to get some true born-again Christian minister?
I think they did that purposely.
Mashallah, mashallah. That is wonderful. Go ahead. Tell me about that wonderful prayer of Imam Tlaib.
He said, "Greetings of peace. We pray that Almighty God Allah will bless this historic convention tonight."
Well, let's stop here for a minute. Are you sure that is a Muslim imam?
That's what he claims to be.
Are you sure that he really knows something about Islam?
From my experiences with you, I'm running into imams that don't know anything about Islam.
Here is the truth, Sister Christy. Allah gave us a great advice throughout the Quran to obey Muhammad. And Muhammad taught the Muslims in the Hadith, do not initiate the peace to the Jews nor to the Christians. I don't know if the convention of the Democratic Party this year have any Jews or any Christians. Well, wait a minute. I thought Kamala's husband is a Jewish man, and there were plenty of those so-called Christians in such conventions. So how in the world that Muslim imam would say, greetings of peace, and then he said, we praise that Almighty God Allah. Wait a minute. It is God or Allah, you cannot have them both, will bless this historical convention tonight. How can this happen, Sister Christy?
Well, you know, Usama, this is so interesting because we know that years ago, in 2008, they were attempting to remove God out of the platform at the DNC. You and I spoke about it quite a lot at the time. Remember, they brought a minister up there and he said, oh, we need to have God in our platform. Everyone who wants God in our platform, say aye. And then he said, those opposed, nay. Well, guess what? The nays were huge. He said, the ayes have it. And they put God back in.
The ayes have it. You know why? Because they still want, I call useful idiot Christian in name only, to vote for that party. Because otherwise, how in the world are you going to convince those people all over the churches who do not know anything about Christianity or do not know anything about that liberal party who left them a long time ago? How do you expect them to vote for the party unless they still have somehow God fit within their agenda? Well, Brother Paul, read for me the last line down there, if you don't mind.
Bless our leaders with wisdom to do the right thing, consistent with God's ways, to stand firm against inhumane acts, to treat all humans as the sacred creation of the Almighty. And may we remember the inalienable rights.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, a couple of questions. He wants to stand firm against inhumane acts. How about beating the wife according to the sunnah of the Quran, Allah's word, and Muhammad's word? Is this humane for a woman to be beaten by her husband?
No, of course it is not humane. It is inhumane. However, it's part of Sharia.
Now, the last portion, Sister Christy, when he talked about inalienable rights, Can you tell me what rights do Muslims have in Islam, just in general? Can a Muslim person have the right to say, have freedom of religion? I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. I want to be an atheist or a Christian or a Jew. Do Muslims have that right?
You know, Usama, they have no rights because this is Islam, which people don't understand. They're trying to make us think that there's some inalienable rights in Islam like we have under our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution protects them. No, they don't have that.
So here's the problem, my dear friends. We got a Muslim imam who knows Islam very well, but he is lying in his prayer for the Democratic Convention meeting. This is what makes me sick about liberals using the Muslims to gain more votes when in reality, it is actually Muslims are using the liberals as useful idiots to take over America. Well, Brother Paul, let's move on to our next story.
Al-Gamana reports that anti-Israel students at Cornell University vandalized an administrative building on Monday, which appears to have been a test of the resolve of the interim president, Kotlikoff, who announced new policies on institutional neutrality, discipline, and encampments around the same time as the incident. According to the Cornell Daily Sun, the anti-Zionist agitators graffitied "Israel bombs, Cornell pays, and blood is on your hands" on their day hall. They also shattered the glazings of its front doors. The vandalism of day hall concurred with Kotlikoff issuing a statement which described how the university will respond to potentially disruptive protests, a problem which prematurely ended the tenures of four Ivy League presidents last academic year, including his predecessor. In it, Kotlikoff stressed his belief in upholding the expressive activities of individuals while maintaining that they are bound by the need to protect the core functions of the university and the reciprocal rights of others. Letting the incident slide may invite the scrutiny of the U.S. Congress, which only last week asked the university to share its plan for deterring and responding to lawbreaking and anti-Semitic discrimination. As of this publication, his administration had pledged to hold the students accountable.
Well, we predicted last semester, in the end of the semester, that it's going to get worse this semester. And I believe here is a great test these students are bringing to the leadership of such universities. Do you think, Christy, they will do something about these individuals who did the damage? Or it's going to be like what we are used to as we have seen it in our last semester?
Well, I think that the universities now have a lot more incentive to keep these kinds of things under control. And I hope and pray that they're identified and can be expelled. This chaos that went on last summer was targeting Jewish students and limiting their rights to even get an education. The Supreme Court and Congress have come up strongly against this, and universities are going to pay a price if they don't get this under control.
Well, let me give you my prediction again. It's going to get worse, especially if Mr. Trump wins the election. Let's move on, Brother Paul, to the next story, which also from the United States.
Dr. Hatem Basian, the founder of the SJP, the Students for Justice in Palestine, have acknowledged that anti-terrorism law is being used to close the national SJP. This is related to an active court case in Florida we mentioned 2 months ago, where the national SJP is taking propaganda from Hamas and distributing it to its chapters. That is, they are distributing Hamas propaganda to student groups. Dr. Hatem Basian blames Jewish groups for this happening. However, he is the one who is thought to have the direct connection to Hamas. In the video caught by memory, he never once mentioned who the SJP is helping. This week, the school year is starting. That's why he's doing this.
So in simple words, Brother Paul, Dr. Hatem is doing a great job to get some fire started in the students. He wants them to get excited about what is coming in this semester, as we just said in our previous story. And I do not know where we're going to go with that, Christy.
Well, you know, Usama, this is accusing other people of using laws against terrorism. Against these people? Well, guess what? They are terrorists. I'm sorry. We've seen it. Hamas is a terrorist organization. And now that they have their propaganda in the school, we're turning our students into terrorists supporting Hamas. I'm sorry. He is right. They should be using these laws, but they're trying to fight it. They're going to get everybody upset in order to start more violence at schools. I think you're exactly right, Usama.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation
of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Move on, Father Paul, to the next story.
The New York Post is playing catch-up this Monday and started to express concern that local mosques in New York City are regularly teaching hatred and expressing hate speech from the pulpit and encourage more actions like Hamas did on October 7th. It seems like someone in the New York Post just discovered the Middle East Media Research site. Maybe they should start listening to our weekly broadcast.
It's true, Brother Paul. If people will go back and go to our archive and our website and listen to our Friday broadcast, which is available, you'll be surprised. That's exactly what we'll be covering for weeks and weeks. Somehow, New York Post figured it out. What do you think about that, Christy?
Well, you know, Usama, we have tried to expose this. So all I can say is I'm thankful that they put this story out there, because all of us are in danger from this kind of rhetoric that's going on in mosques in America. And thank God somebody is waking up to this besides us.
And I hope and I pray that if the New York Post are going to really take a stand against what Muslim jihadis are teaching all over the mosques in America, maybe they should give the people a taste of what the imam are really preaching and teaching in such mosques. Because otherwise, it's just the title. It will not ring any bells. Well, Brother Paul, let's move to our next story, which comes to us from Germany.
DW.com reported that on last Friday evening, a knife attack took place in the western German city of Solingen in front of a music stage at a festival of diversity celebrating the 650th anniversary of the city. The jihadi killed three people, two men and a woman, and eight others were injured, five seriously. At that time, the attacker escaped and police were looking at the local refugee hotel for him. They did take a 15-year-old who DW.com shared was considered to be guilty for not reporting a planned attack. According to the German Daily Bild, the man, still covered in blood, approached the officer shortly after 11 o'clock at night and said, "I'm the one you're looking for." German news magazine Spiegel reported that the suspect is a 26-year-old Syrian who came to Germany in 2022 and applied for asylum in Bielefeld. He was allowed to stay because his country was in civil war. They gave his name as Isa Al, and the last initial is H, because his family name is omitted because of German privacy laws.
Don't you love the privacy laws of Germany to protect the family of a criminal who killed three, wounded eight, five, real serious injured? I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't know how I can tell the people of the West, wake up. This is a message we've been trying to teach you. No such a thing as asylum for Muslims. The man only been there for 2 years and already killed three. And if you give him the chance, he'll kill 30 more. And by the way, the excuse that since his country have a war, then they have the right to come to the West. If you're going to do that, guess what? Get ready. Half of the Muslims would be in the West. That is over 750 million. Why? Because Muslims always in war with Muslims. If they're not in war with other infidels in their land. So I'm tired of it, Christy. I don't know how can I wake up the people of the West about that movement of asylum visas, especially for the Muslims of the Muslim world.
You know, Usama, we have talked about this before and again. if the West would wake up. There are always wars, as you said, going on in Muslim countries. Many times it's Christians and non-Muslims who are being slaughtered, and they go, oh, there's a civil war. These people are being killed. They never tell us the truth, or the media hasn't told us the truth about what's at the heart of the war. It is jihad against non-believers. And they never bring the Christians or the Jews out of these countries. They always bring the Muslims.
Move on, Brother Paul, to the next story, which comes to us from Sweden.
Last October 12th, then 17-year-old Hamza broke into a villa south of Stockholm, wearing a mask and armed with an automatic carbine. There, a 40-year-old father of small children was shot dead. He also fired shots at the mother, who was holding the couple's 2-year-old daughter in her arms, but missed. After that, Hamza left the villa to continue his jihad. The next stop was another villa, this time in southern Greater Stockholm. The villa belongs to a famous artist. Here, Hamza shot dead a 20-year-old female law student and the artist's 60-year-old mother-in-law. On Wednesday, Hamza Abdi Omar, now 18, was sentenced to 12 years in prison for 3 counts of murder, 7 counts of attempted murder, and aggravated weapons offenses. It is the most severe sentence ever handed down to such a young person in Sweden. At the same time, Hamza gets to deduct a third 4 years of the sentence, plus the time he spent in custody before the sentence. He will serve 7 years.
What a wonderful way to treat Mr. Hamza. He only killed 3 people, and he will serve 7 years. That is exactly what I say, the level of stupidity beyond measure. It is like giving invitation for the rest of the Muslim of Sweden to perform jihad for the sake of Allah. If every Muslim in Sweden kills 3, Sweden is gone. And we're going to do what? Give them a few years in prison? Does he understand that the prison which Mr. Hamza will spend 7 years in much better than any place he can live in his own home country? So where is the punishment here, Christy?
Well, actually, this is probably going to turn into rewards, I mean, for what he's done. Doesn't Islam promise him rewards? That's in the mind of Muslims who carry these acts out. 7 people were seriously injured. 3 were killed. Yeah, he's going to serve 7 years. What about 3 life sentences for those he killed?
Well, once again, 17 plus 7, they'll be 24 years old. My question to you, Paul, will he serve all the 7 years, or do we give him a break there too?
I think they will make him serve the full 7 years because they're so lenient.
Man, oh man, I feel sorry for that man who's going to have 7 more years. He have to wait until he come back out so he can perform jihad a little bit more. Let's move on to the next story, which comes to us from Russia.
The Daily Mail reports that ISIS inmates who took control of a Russian penal colony, slashing a guard's throat and forcing maimed hostages to beg Putin for help, have now been liquidated by snipers. Video emerged of knife-wielding prisoners at IK-19 penal colony in Volgograd, saying they were mujahideen of the Islamic State, seeking revenge for their brothers who carried out the Crocus City Hall massacre. One of the hostage takers, identified as Rusmashon Navruzi, 23, a native of Tajikistan, is said to have strapped himself with explosives the prisoners made in the jail workshop using petrol and industrial liquids. But the siege came to a dramatic end as Russia's feared special forces moved in, with Navruzi trying and failing to detonate his suicide vest before being liquidated along with his 3 fellow attackers.
4 attackers performing jihad, and Russian did it the right way. Maybe the Swedish people and the German people can learn from the Russian people how to react to Muslims' activities. They ended their life. I don't know when the West will wake up, Christy, before they realize they're so soft towards Muslim jihadi in the West.
You know, it's crazy because, I studied criminal justice. And one of the things we know is that when you put people in prison, there is 2 things that don't happen. They don't feel like they've been treated fairly, and they don't feel loved, but they often feel that they're justified in what they did. I'm sad to say, if you just stick somebody in prison, they're going to make connections, maybe with other criminals, maybe with other jihadis. And when Russia took this action, I'm sure people think it's really severe, but they said they were ISIS. They said they were revenging for other jihadis who had been involved in a crime. Somehow, we got to realize that may be the only way to stop this stuff from continuing.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Brother Paul, we got last story from the country of Qatar.
This week, Memory reported that in March of 2024, the magazine Al-Mujtama, the community, the mouthpiece of the Social Reform Association, which is affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, published two articles by Dr. Wasfi Ahur Abuzaid, who is a member of the Qatar-backed International Union of Muslim Scholars, also a Muslim Brotherhood organization. He considered how the Al-Aqsa flood, namely Hamas's deadly October 7th attack, in which 1,200 Israeli were killed and over 200 were kidnapped, and the ensuing war in Gaza can be used in education as a tool to instill correct values in children and to shape their personality. Abu Zaid notes that the Al-Aqsa flood is an effective means of teaching children the values of jihad, stressing that jihad is the pinnacle of Islam and the source of the Muslims' glory. He states that children must be raised on love of jihad and yearning for it and constant contemplation of it, and that today, more than ever before, we desperately need to spread the culture of jihad. This, he explains, includes not only jihad in the sense of combat, but also financial jihad, media jihad, jihad of words, and jihad against evil scholars, hypocrites, and the infidels.
So Dr. Wasfi is preaching the true message of jihad. He's doing a great job to raise a new generation to continue to carry the baton of jihad against the infidels. What is going on, Christy, with that open teaching on jihad by Dr. Wasfi?
Well, if he was the only one, it would be, you know, wow, here's this guy. But Usama, we're hearing this in mosques in America where they're openly talking about it. He's saying this is poisoning the minds of an upcoming generation. And what it tells me is that in terms of where we are in America right now, this is a time every non-Muslim needs to wake up, because October 7th, they're marking as the opening of a jihadi generation and age.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, thank you so much for joining me in this broadcast and to our dear wonderful audience. Until we meet again, may the true God of Sabbath continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.